look at the baby, and she said, the baby, by the way, it was ugly, by the way. It was pretty ugly. And my and the lady was looking up to my, you know, her boss, right? What do you think? And my mom looked at the baby, and my mom said, she looks very healthy. She looks very healthy, right? But the message my mom sent, it was never said, but it was sent, right? And sometimes in communication, the big idea is not in what it says, but in the things you don't hear, right? You're not listening. And what we're going to do today is we're going to take this verse and we're going to see three things this verse doesn't say. Three ideas, three principles that this verse is not saying to you. Because sometimes as we read the Bible, we put the Bible in such a way that is so comfortable to us. And this is the problem. When we do that, we are installing wheels in the chair. And now we can move the chair any way we want to. And in order for the chair to be the fixed point of reference, needs to be what? Steady. Stay in the same place. It cannot move. It cannot change. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And what is he not saying there? Well, let me give you a description of what happened, and you will probably get it very quickly because you're smart people. You're smart people. You have a great pastor for a long time, and you're smart people. When Pentecost, the 50th day after Passover came, all the believers were what? Together, right? In one place. And suddenly, a sound like a violent blowing wind came from the sky and filled the whole what? The whole house where they were staying. Tongues that looked like what? Like fire appeared to them. The tongues arranged themselves so that one came to rest on each believer. That means there was no exclusions there. Everybody was involved in this event. All the believers were what? Filled. With what? With the Holy Spirit. That means in chapter 1, Jesus promised, hey, and you will receive power. Chapter 2, you got it. And begin to speak what? In other languages, as the Spirit gave them the ability to speak. That means as the Holy Spirit showed up, he started to give away, hey, you are going to do this. Like Oprah, like the Oprah show, you're going to do this. And right? Everybody was involved in that. Now, there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, the sound of what? All these people, right? Speaking in different languages. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together, and what happened? How do you think they reacted? Why they were shocked? Cricket. Why do you think they were shocked? It was new? What else? Let's read the last line. You're smart people, I know. Why? Because what? Because they were listening to these people who, by the way, they were not too educated, right? Speaking what? In the language of all these people. It was like a United Nations convention, right? Anyway, how in the world? How? A fisherman speak man language? How is that possible? And this is the thing the Bible is not, in this verse, is the first thing it's not saying. Power is not a gift. Power is not a gift. Power is the consequence. What happened to the people who seek him and the people who are willing to share what he has done for us. In other words, power is the consequence of people who have intimacy with God and share their great stories. When people have a mindset that they want to be, because remember, they were in a house doing what? Do you remember what they were doing in that house? They were praying. They were seeking God. And power is the consequence. For that reason, if you are waiting that in a supernatural way, out of nowhere, you will receive that power, we have a problem. Can I tell you something? The power will not come even if you watch your favorite show in Netflix and all the episodes one after another one. Even if you do that, the power will not show up. The power is a reward, is a consequence of those who are seeking God, having intimacy with him, and have a desire to share what God have done in our lives. Now, the story doesn't end there. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be what? My what? Witnesses. You will be my witnesses. Now, in order for you to be a witness, you need to what? You need to see something, right? You need to see something. You cannot be a witness of, for example, Watergate. You were not there. It doesn't matter how you feel about it. It doesn't matter what you think about it. If you were not there, you cannot be a witness. And you can even think, no, that president was a bad, he for sure, he did. It doesn't matter what you think. It doesn't matter how you feel. The only that matter is if you were a witness. And God is inviting us to be his witnesses. Hey, I want to move with power, and I want you to be part of that. And it's so sad when we walk through life, and I'm talking to Christians now. We walk through life, and we think the only thing we need to do is to show up from time to time and sing a couple of songs. Hey, you don't need the Holy Spirit to do that. There are people who use drugs and they do exactly the same thing. They get together from time to time and they sing awesome songs. You don't need the power of God for that. But if you want to live in the supernatural way of the kingdom of God, God is inviting you to be a witness. You will be my witness. Because I'm going to do something and you're going to see it. And you're going to be part of that. And my prayer is that you will be an eyewitness of the power of God. That you will see him face to face. That you will encounter him in everything you do. That you will follow his lead and you will embrace his presence. And you will be his witness. Now, you know this part of the Bible. You know, they were amazed. And they asked, you know, aren't all these who speak are Galileans? You know, these people are like lame, like losers. How they are so eloquent. And then you go, then how it is that each of us hear them in our native language. And you have this list of different places that I don't even know how to pronounce. Susan, help me out, because I don't know how to do this. But you know, and then, but this is the best part. All of them were saying this. We hear them doing what? Declaring what? They were saying what they have experienced. And my question to you is, are you not saying anything because you haven't experienced anything? I remember the first time I invited a girl for a date. Sorry, honey. It was not her. We went out for ice cream, and because I'm so shy, can I be honest with you? I didn't know what to say. I didn't know. I didn't have a father who modeled me how to be a gentleman. I didn't know. I learned to tie my tie, to do my tie, because a neighbor taught me how to do it. I didn't have anybody who modeled me how to do it. And you know what happened when you're not a witness? You don't know what to say. And that's probably why so many Christians never witness to other people, never share the gospel with anybody. They don't know what to say. But Jesus said, you will be my witness. You will. You will be my witness. And the good thing is, once you experience that power, the only thing you're able to say is the marvelous things of God. Now, the second thing this verse is not saying is that being a witness is not an option. Did you hear the Lord what he said? And you will be my witness. If that sounds like an option, I don't think so. And you will buy me lunch. That sounds like an option? I don't think so, right? It doesn't. For that reason, being a witness is not an option. It is a spiritual gift. It comes when the Holy Spirit comes. Because when the power of God comes in us, that's the power that we're going to witness about. For that reason, in the first part of the verse, in order to understand that we will receive that power, it's because it's a consequence of having intimacy with God and the desire to share our great stories. But in order to be a witness, it's because God have already equipped us through our spiritual giftedness to do that. It's a gift from God. That's why it's called a spiritual gift. And that gift is determined by the power he has given to you. Can I tell you something? You are as bold as you want to be. God cannot make you bolder. You are as bold as you want to be. And all will rely in your experience with the Lord. But I'm not interested in that. I just love my phone. And everything is in my phone. And my life is my phone. And all everything, you know. And the chair is still moving. You know, I was reading the other day that there are close to 1 billion apps in the world. 1 billion applications for a phone. Do you believe something like that? If you can think about it, there's an app, right? And I don't know if I'm the only one, but I have so many challenges in my life that there is not a single app that can solve it. I don't know if you're like me, but I have so many challenges. I deal with so many people with so many challenges, and there's not a single app that solves that problem. Can you tell me what is the app that anybody can create to help you with your loneliness? Can you tell me what is the app that you have in order to fix your marriage, in order to be a better father, in order to not curse, in order to be a good role model for the people around you? Can you tell me what is the app that is going to shape your character? Or the app that will make you more generous? Can you tell me what is the app that will make you pray or read the Bible? Can you tell me what is the app who will make you love your enemies? There's not such a thing. Because in spite of all the advancements we enjoy, the power of God continued to be indispensable for the Christian life. And the Word of God continued to be the fixed point of reference for all of us. Now, there is another point that I want to share with you today. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea, Samaria, and where else? And you remember a few months ago, we have this sermon series about the book of Acts. And we told you Jerusalem is where you are. And Judea is where you want to, you right? And Samaria is where you don't want to go, right? Don't you notice how excited Tamika was to go at 5? Oh, Pastor Shin, 5 in the morning with Pastor Matt, right? Did you hear the excitement that he had? Right? To wake up a Sunday at 5 in the morning, right? Oh, Pastor Shim gives glory to God for Pastor Matt's life every single day. Father, thank you. You didn't call me to do that, right? Hey, they are places we don't want to go. They're people we don't want to talk to. They're people we don't like. You know, as pastors, we struggle so much in so many areas. And one of them is when one of you just walk away from the church. It's so hurtful, especially when they don't say anything. They just walk away. It's so hurtful. And then we notice how God, in His mercy, sent 5 more. I remember the first time in my first church when somebody left the church. I cry like a third grade girl. I couldn't believe it, that somebody will leave the church. It was amazing to me. And you know what happened 2 weeks later? 5 new people were in the church. And I was like, are you kidding me? This is how it's going to be? Let me show you the list that I have. I have this other 5 that you can bring 25. This is amazing. Loved it. But it doesn't work that way. You know what? 25 years later, it breaks my heart like the first day. It breaks my heart like the first day. And I know, hey, listen, if you're a leader, listen carefully. It's going to happen. People are going to come and people are going to go. The question as leaders is, how do you want them to leave? There are people that says, no, we are not going to invest in our people because they're going to leave anyway. And my answer is always the same. And why if they stay? Why if they stay and we haven't invested in them? Right? And this is important because God have called us to go where we are, where we would love to go, when we don't like to go, and whatever place He sent us. And this is the beauty of this. This is what the verse didn't say. The verse didn't say or. It said and. It didn't say, you will be my witness in Jerusalem, or Judea, or Samaria, or the end of the earth. It said, you will be my witness in where? Jerusalem, and Judea, and Samaria, and the end of the earth. It didn't say, or. It says, and. And for many people, this is like a multiple choice. No, you know what? Mission trip, that's for people who really love the Lord. I appreciate Him. But this is for people who really love the Lord. You know what I'm saying? You know, going at 5 in the morning to the bridge to feed the homeless. Why they don't go to Dennis? It's 24 hours, right? Why do we don't give them a gift card And they show up in Dennis anytime they want to. And we don't need to 5 in the morning. You know, it's too hard. Right? Why should, you know, I just love to minister in my community because they're so nice. Everybody has like a pool and a white fence. But I'm not going to go to the west part of Charlotte. You know that part next to the airport? That's weird part. I would love if God called me to go to Ballantyne. Oh, that would be amazing. Amazing Grace House, right? That would be amazing. Right? Oh, Lord. That would be awesome. But the projects? No, God has another person. Can I tell you something? It doesn't matter what part of Charlotte they live, they need Christ. And it's not an option. Jesus never said or. He always said and. The power will make us relational and stewards of what they have been given to us. For that reason, in order to be able to fulfill Jesus' words, Jesus' commands, we need to exercise this idea of connecting life, that we're going to relate with people not because of how they look like, but because of how God sees them. And in order to be able to go to Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the end of the world, we need to be amazing stewards and administer appropriately the resources He has placed in our hands. Because He never said it was an option. You can pick and choose. God didn't say, well, you're called to minister in Carowinds. And you take a ride and then talk to somebody and take another ride. And take your... It will be amazing. We have people that God have used there, but not only there. You see, when we approach the words of the Lord, should change our paradigm, the way we see things, not only because of what He said, but because what He didn't say. Because sometimes what He didn't say is even more important. For that reason, if we want that power, what we need to do is to seek Him, to have intimacy with Him, and to have this incredible desire. Because let me tell you something, after you experience the power of God in your life, you can't be silent. You can't be silent and share the intervention of God's grace in your life. And then when you become a witness, what the only thing you are doing is to use His giftedness in your life. And then when it's time to go, it doesn't matter if it's to the next door neighbor or across the globe. You're going to need to connect with others and to be a great steward. And that what is this church all about. And that's what Jesus' desire for you and for me. But you will receive power. You. Oh, but I'm too old. No, you. I'm too young. No, you. No, but, you know, my skin is different. No, you. But, you know, in order to receive power, we need to go to class A, B, C, D, and, you know, and no. If He said it, it's done. If He said it, it's done. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit come on you. And you will be my what? Witnesses. Hey, God is going to take you to a place that you will not be able to close your eyes. And you will need to see Him face to face. God will take you to a place where you cannot run from Him. And the only cry of desperation will be to Him. I can be here for hours sharing with you the stories of people who are sitting right now in this place. I have people like my half-sister, Lillian, who's here. We know each other for more than 30 years. And she and I have seen God's glory from the beginning of that process. Edby is here from Atlanta. And I remember being his pastor when he was, what, 15, 14, something like that. Now he's 72. Look at him. He looks so young. And he have been a witness of that. And I have people from so many other churches that I have planted before. Can I tell you, I feel today that I'm in my own funeral. Because so many people who love me are here. I am enjoying this 100%. Hey, let me tell you this. We have been with, but God can take you to a place where the only place you will be able to lift your head and your eyes will be to him. And you will see his glory. And there's no way you cannot be a witness. God will take you to a corner and you will lose so much that even when he look at you will be a gain. And once you are a witness, you have one destination to be his witness. Everywhere. Everywhere means where you are. Everywhere means where you want to go. Everywhere means where you do not want to go. And everywhere means wherever he sent you. That is why the Bible, this precious book that I have spent the last 25 years of my life talking about, is our fixed point of reference.
Crosspoint Alliance Church is a Christ-centered, Acts 1:8 family. Our hope is that you heard from God today. You can be part of the Crosspoint family by praying for this ministry. You can write or send your donation to Crosspoint Alliance Church, PO Box 6. 6-